Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeffrey Pilgrim, commencing Chapter 7 of the story of Office Wife.
This is the second row Master and I have had lately about my new secretary, Stella Bronson. Well, not a row exactly, but a discussion. Yesterday, because of this deal Benny Puller's offered me, I had to put my wife out for lunch. And then what did Puller do but insist that Stella and I went to lunch with him? Of course, Marcia thinks I had something to do with it. And she's pretty terse about it, I can tell you. If only she'd get it into her head that we were married because I'm in love with her. Not with someone I only see because she has to take my letters. But just the same, I do wish Marcia would be just a little more reasonable. Marcia, will you listen to me? What could I do? Benny Puller invited Stella to lunch. I didn't. Do you expect me to say, sorry, if she comes to lunch, I'll have to go and eat something by myself? Is that what you expect? Well, is it?
Oh, Jeff, darling, all the time I'm going on like this, I know I'm being a mean, jealous, nagging shrew of a wife. But, darling, where you're concerned, I just can't help it.
Well, for heaven's sake, Marcia, make yourself help it.
I'll try.
Now, look at me. Do you think I care tuppence about that woman or not?
Well, she's awfully pretty.
Answer me.
Well, no, I don't suppose so.
You shouldn't suppose. You should know. You know there's nothing between us, don't you?
Yes, I know.
And even if I have to keep her late 6 nights in a row, it still won't mean anything, will it not?
No. But please, Jeff, don't ever let it. Ever.
You know everything about the girl. Everything I know, at any rate. And you always shall. Oh, yes, she's pretty. Beautiful, if you like. But I couldn't even tell you the color of her eyes. As far as I'm concerned, she exists only to take dictation, to make tea at 10:45 and 3:30, and to get between me and the people I don't want to talk to on the phone. Oh, darling, keep your perspective. Say you understand. Please, darling.
Yes, Jeff, I understand.
There's never even been a hint of anything else. And there never will be. Because it just so happens that I'm in love with my wife. And only with my wife.
Darling, I'm a hag and I don't deserve you.
Oh, rot.
And I promise I'll never be beastly again. Am I forgiven?
Mm-hmm. Of course you are. Hey, now look here. You see the clock? It's high time you were tucked in and asleep, Mrs. Pilgrim. So come along. It's you and me for bed. Darling.
You know what I want to talk about, don't you, Stella? Or do you?
I know whom you want to talk about. Funny that we should both be interested in the same person, isn't it? Now, here's the waiter.
Black coffee, please. Cream, toast, and asparagus for two. Now, that's that. Do you like it here, Stella?
The decorations are rather odd. What would you call them?
Oh, picture palace oriental, or if you prefer it, carpet and plaster corn.
You know what I think, Harry? I think you get your conversation out of the digest. But it's not bad, really.
And where does Mr. Pilgrim, the Duke of Tresor Bendigo, get his?
Now, don't get terse with me. You still haven't told me exactly what you're planning with Jeff.
I'm not sure that I should.
Isn't it time you made up your mind? Why did you pitch that yarn about your car being milked the night before he was married? And then persuade him to drive me home when the streets are swarming with cabs? Just to make trouble for Jeffrey and his dear, sweet Marcia?
Something like that. And I know perfectly well why you agreed to try and make his wife jealous. Because you tried to get friendly. And he went all virtuous on you and told you not to be a naughty girl. Isn't that right?
Partly. I don't much care to have my advances turned down flat. But that doesn't say I'm going to fall in with any schemes you may be hatching to ruin him.
Why not? Look here, Stella. With someone on the inside to help me, I could get Pilgrim thrown out on his neck and divorced from Marcia. And then between the three of us, I could just about take Tressida Bendigo's over lock, stock, and barrel.
Oh, don't talk drivel.
I'm not talking drivel. It could be done. I'm no fool. Far from it. And you're clever. But the first thing we'd have to do is get Pilgrim thrown out by his wife using her influence with her uncle.
Has she any?
Are you being funny? Marcia's always been able to twist her uncle Tressida around her little finger. I know.
What's in it for me?
Do you want to be someone's secretary all your life? Taking letters, answering the phone, making other people's tea and theater bookings, and being polite to other people's wives? Have some sense. Why, you've enough brains to...
Thanks. I'm flattered.
You've enough brains to make a really good executive. You know more about Tressida Bendigo's already than Marcia Pilgrim learnt in 2 years.
In her position, maybe it wasn't necessary for her to learn anything.
That is not the point.
I suppose the ace in your hand is going to be the fact that Jeff Pilgrim thinks you're a friend of his.
Why not? I've spent 3 years making him think so.
Why do you detest him so?
Because everything I've tried for in the firm, I've missed and he's got. Look at this latest thing. Benny Puller's contract. Don't you think I could have handled it as well?
Benny Puller gave it to Jeff. Is that an answer?
Everything goes to Jeff. First the AGP count. That should have been mine. Then the separate office. And Marcia Capehart for his secretary. And Marcia Capehart herself. Then golf with Tressida Bendigo. Then weekends in the country with Percy Fleming. And why? Just because Jeff Pilgrim has the knack of crawling to people. Don't you think I know?
He doesn't crawl to Benny Puller. He dictates to him.
Oh, rot.
It's not rot. I can see and hear, can't I?
If you want to grovel at Jeff Pilgrim's feet, you can. But if you've any sense, Stella, you'll join forces with me. Pilgrim's had all the luck. But I've more intelligence than three of him. Look, Stella, why don't you? Will you? There's no limit to the distance we could go. Together.
If I did, would you keep your hands off the rest of the office help?
I don't know what you mean.
You know how you got your reputation as well as I do.
Oh, hang my reputation. Will you come in with me to get rid of Jeff Pilgrim?
No, I won't.
Why not? The chap made a fool of you in his car the night he drove you home, didn't he?
It was my own fault. I asked for it by rushing him. He's too good to be taken by storm, that's all.
You still haven't told me why you won't come in with me.
It's simple enough. I just don't care to see Jeff Pilgrim ruined by you or anyone else.
Look here. You're not falling for him, are you?
Don't talk like a fool.
Are you certain?
Oh, what do I have to do? Draw you a diagram? Don't you think I know when I'm going overboard? A man's too much of a prude for me. You should know that.
I'm glad to hear it. Stella, look, come to think of it, we don't get along so badly, do we?
When you forget that your reputation calls for you to be impassioned, you're rather nice, if you must know.
Do you like me?
Well, on a smaller game, Harry, I think you'd be devastating.
What size game are you, darling?
I shouldn't admit it, but I'm just small enough to feel a slight effect.
Slight?
That's all so far. The worst thing about you, Palmer, is you take too much for granted. With men like you, humility gets you further than the blown-up ego.
Oh, nice of you to give me the benefit of the female point of view.
Not at all. Here's our coffee.
Yeah. What do you say we go for a drive after?
At this hour. It's too cold, thanks.
There's a fire at my place.
There's a fire at mine, too. So we can both warm up later, separately. I hope you don't mind.
Mind? Oh, really, Stella? Actually, I'm only trying to do you a favor.
Darling, you're too sweet.
Thank you.
Jeff, darling, it's just on 8. Breakfast ready.
No, I'm coming. Hey, what's that I can smell?
Savory omelet. Shall I put your iron into your set?
Yes, please. Oh, boy, am I hungry.
Sit down. And hurry, or I'll burn your omelet. Listen, darling, lunch today?
Oh, well, I'd rather not promise. I want to keep everything clear if I can, in case old Benny wants to come and natter.
You won't be working late again tonight, will you?
Not if I can possibly help it. Oh, and if I am, you must come and... Oh, no, no, that wouldn't do. Oh, I'm almost certain to be home by 6.
Do try. The other day, when you saw Melody Parson, you said something about a party.
Oh, yes. What's wrong with next Friday evening, huh? I'll leave it to you.
Provided you let me know who will be coming from the office.
Oh, of course, though. Well, I can tell you now. Miles Hendricks, Peter Campbell, and Harry Palmer. They can bring their usual wenches, or their new ones, if any.
Harry Palmer?
Why not?
Oh, well, it's up to you, darling, but I thought you'd gone off him.
Well, I did just before we were married, when he seemed to get into the habit of making veiled remarks. But he's been very decent lately, so it's probably just my imagination.
I have my doubts about him sometimes. And I'm certain he's violently jealous of you.
Oh, right, why should he be? Hey, that's your wifely bride and the breadwinner coming to the fore. Hey, look out, you'll burn the toast.
Oh. Just in time. Look, you'd better hurry. Shall I put the car out in the street while you dress?
Please. But before you do, we've both forgotten about last night, haven't we?
About the Empress Josephine Bronson? Of course, darling. And I'm sorry I was nasty.
It's over now. And we're both wiser and older. Now, why don't you go and try not to knock any mud guards off? There's an angel. I'll only be a minute. And I'll love you for eternity and a minute. Marcy is a darling, and I shouldn't get annoyed with her for being jealous of Stella Bronson. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing Stella and Harry Palmer seem to be working up an attachment. At least if that comes to something, Marcia won't be able to think Stella's interested in me. But the trouble is, unless I'm being insufferably vain, Stella is interested in me. It's rather a hard thing not to notice.
We invite you to listen to further chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.